Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
I was so consumed before with Junior making a gaffe and messing up that I didn't realize. You a real one, Junior. You got my jersey. You're going to be looking fresh. I don't know if you're going to look as fresh as me on media day, but you're going to look all right. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Right now on ESPN Plus, Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests that join us here on Janae and Golick Jr. join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So you're going to be fitted for the season, Junior, in the Hollywood Black? Like, honestly, that one is like my favorite jersey.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That one stuck out immediately as the one I must have. But shout out to our staff here. That was like supposed to be a surprise. I was going to walk in here one day with that on, and you guys decided to just totally put me on blast. Now, I will say, Janae, like you, for the first 2 hours of this show, I did not notice the fact that they had outed me in that top of hours. So I guess they kind of get a pass on this one. But Cliff, you guys kind of sold me out here.
How did I sell you out? What did I do?
It was supposed to be a surprise that he was going to have the jersey, and then we made that the top of our show, and so it's no longer a surprise. So you're supposed to keep us in the dark until the show starts.
Listen, I didn't create that piece of production. I'm sorry. I would have kept your secret, but I just bought my Tay Cooper jersey, so I'm going to be out in L.A. Staples Court.
Whoa. So you chose another teammate of mine. Look, I like that you're supporting the Sparks, so it's okay. Maybe everybody gets a player, but like Cliff, I thought we were cool. No wonder you don't say you ever love me. So it all makes sense right now.
ELE, everybody loves
you. Got
everybody.
Love for somebody else. Hey, I could connect the dots. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can help you here. But first and foremost, that's Janae Angola Jr. After Dark. Now, this hour of the show, it's really exciting because, you know, we sort of touched on this not too long ago, and we'll get in it on One and Done. Now that a bill has been signed into law that affects college athletes in name, image, and likeness, we'll get to that in about 10 minutes. And also in about 30 minutes, we'll get to talk to someone that works, you know, right up front and personal with NBA players. And it's going to be fascinating as we speak to Chris Brickley, an NBA trainer who works with some of the best, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, CJ McCollum. We'll get to chat with him because this has been a crazy season, Junior, in the NBA. And I'm sure that a number of players having that insight of how they've been able to maintain Kevin Durant, especially with Brooklyn, considering probably we can lean on him now since we're just now getting to see him on the court. So we'll get to all of that. But first and foremost, we start here with Aaron Rodgers, rightfully so. Now, this was kind of a curveball. Aaron Rodgers basically saying, hey, you know, we know things have been bad with the Packers, but now I fully want out. And so, Junior, I want to play a game, and we're going to scenario this out. So are you down to play that game?
Yeah, I would say we might as well get ahead of this, Janae, because we need to get every possible roadmap for this on the books. Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL reporter, said this is probably going to be going on for weeks, at least until June 1st. This is slowly going to consume us the way Dak Prescott did, the way Deflategate did, the way the third overall pick in the draft did. So we might as well all settle in right now because Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to haunt our dreams.
Yes, Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So this is the scenario as we see it today with Aaron Rodgers and Junior. I want you to play out these pathways GPS style. So what is the best case scenario right now for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
The best case scenario, well, I think those are two different scenarios, by the way, Janae, because the best case scenario for Aaron Rodgers is he gets traded. He gets to go to the Denver Broncos, which, shout out to Bill Barnwell, our great ESPN football writer, who said, you know, the Packers in a trade like that, a price you could fetch Patrick Surtain II, a wide receiver, Drew Lock, a 2022 first, and a 2023 first, in giving up Rodgers and maybe one other draft pick. Like, Janae, that would be a hell of a haul for the Green Bay Packers, but Aaron Rodgers would get to go to a place where he could be a contender right away with the roster we've talked about in Denver. For Green Bay, the best-case scenario is Aaron Rodgers has a change of heart. Maybe over the summer and after a few more plane frights from members of that front office, they can convince him to stick around and they can still get to execute their plan. That would be the best case scenario for them.
I don't know about that, boss. You know how it is as a player. Once that type of word gets out to the public, it's pretty much a done deal. But on the other side of things, what do you think is the worst case scenario for both?
The worst case scenario for the Green Bay Packers, or should I say, I'll do this first. The worst case scenario for Aaron Rodgers is he decides this gets all the way to the fall, and he decides to sit out and Jordan Love balls. The best case scenario for Aaron Rodgers and the worst case scenario for the Green Bay Packers is he decides to sit out this fall, and Jordan Love fails famously. That the Packers' grand plan for a succession all crumbles in front of them while Aaron Rodgers is on a beat somewhere with his fiance sipping Mai Tais. That's the worst case scenario for Green Bay.
And I think that's the angle that we really need to dive into, Junior. Aaron Rodgers, if he decides to sit and just play it patiently in a way that some quarterbacks fear but understand is necessary, what happens to that scenario?
Well, if he decides to play this out, there's one thing that I know shouldn't affect any of this, Janae, because we saw what it takes sometimes to get things done. You got to make people uncomfortable. I keep going back to James Harden. I think it's the most apt comparison here.
Oh, you're telling Aaron Rodgers needs to go out there and wear like a couple of t-shirts, tuck him into his pants, and then he makes himself his way out.
Honestly, Janae, it's easier for quarterbacks because underneath their pads, they wear rib protectors, usually like a flak jacket around it. And so it always makes them look a little puffy in the midsection anyway. So you just add a few extra pads to the rib protector and you can get the James Harden I showed up for training camp out of shape look and get yourself right out of town. The other thing that's going to happen, though, is we're going to do this whole bad look conversation for Aaron Rodgers, like we did for James Harden. And Mark Tauscher, former Packers offensive tackle and host on ESPN Wisconsin, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning. And he said that fans are already starting to turn on the Packers quarterback.
I don't know about villain, but I do notice, and it feels like this saga has been going on for about 6 months, but it's only been a week from last Thursday that this whole thing has been going. And I noticed already after the draft, I thought Thursday and Friday we do a show from 9 to 12 on ESPN Wisconsin. And you know, we had heard what's going on with the front office, what's this? And then by Monday after the draft, the tide was turning. It was more of what does Aaron want? Why aren't we hearing from him? He was at the Derby. So locally, I think we're feeling and hearing a lot of kind of angst already about everybody wants Aaron Rodgers to come back as quarterback, but I think everybody during this 1 week is trying to figure out what he wants. And I think that's the question everybody has right now.
And that's only going to get worse before it gets better. Janae Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That's not going to matter at all, because if Aaron Rodgers somehow ended up back in a Green Bay Packers uniform, they're going to love him because he's going to win them football games. And if he somehow leaves, they're going to hate him for all of the reasons that fans always turn on. So that sort of effect on this of what look it is isn't really going to matter, because nationally, Aaron Rodgers is one of the biggest brand names in the NFL. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a quarterback that so many of us look at and marvel at the talent. And so as long as he's on the field playing football, the rest of us are going to come around to this the same damn way we came around to James Harden, so much so that I started driving the MVP train.
Yeah, you were like chugga 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 too heavy. But Junior, I guess the only thing that gives me pause is when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. It's interesting because the elite quarterbacks, the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, we always say, oh my gosh, you dissect their game and they were maniacal about their love of football. And I think there are question marks where the Packers sort of have to evaluate where his mindset is. Should that really even be in the equation when his talent level is that each and every day?
I think that's all just a front, Janae. Like, anything that comes out about that, his mindset, like, Aaron Rodgers, whatever his mindset is, and this goes back to the conversation that we had about Trevor Lawrence and not having a chip on his shoulder before the draft. However he's decided to approach football, got Trevor Lawrence to be the best player in high school, the best player in college, and the number one pick in the draft. However Aaron Rodgers has gotten to, whatever his mentality has been, has gotten him to be a Super Bowl champion and a multiple-time MVP, in addition to a guy that we know walks into the Hall of Fame. You could argue we don't have as many Lombardi trophies in Aaron Rodgers' closet as we should, and I think a lot of people would blame the Green Bay Packers and the way that organization, at least those of us on the outside. So I don't think Aaron Rodgers' mentality comes under fire at all. We know he's a difficult guy to deal with, Janae. He is not the first great player to be difficult.
Thank you. That's a norm. That is more the norm than likely not. So yeah,
far more the norm than not when it comes to extreme genius, whether that is genius academically, genius musically, or genius athletically, as I've heard John Calipari often say. So we know we're going to get to deal with this plenty right now. I am sorry to America, because I'm with you. We already hate this too. But coming up next, something we're always going to love around here is young kids get to make some money. But we have now a bill signed into law that's got a little added wrinkle to it. We will hear directly from the man who signed it into law next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, in about 10 minutes, we will check in with one of the best NBA trainers on the hardwood to hear how his players have felt throughout this accelerated NBA season. But for now, we're Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, we touched on this not too long ago, but it is now official and now cemented. Governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, signed House Bill 617 today, which will allow college athletes in the state to earn money off of their name in name, image, and likeness starting on July 1st, NIL. Now, the twist that Junior was alluding to not too long ago is that the new legislation, now schools can require athletes to pool up to about 75% of their money earned in an escrow account that would then be shared with other athletes. However, would not be able to be withdrawn until a year after they graduate and leave school. So making money, but the terms and conditions, I don't know about that though. So to break all of this down, you know what it is we got to do in this segment of One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Junior, when you read the fine print besides the headline, like, the headline is so cool. Like, oh my gosh, you know, sign a bill into law, name, image, likeness, athletes get money. And then you read the fine print and you're like, oh no, terms and conditions apply.
Terms and conditions do apply selectively, Janae, because while that's in there, it's not required. And that's important to note that no smart school in the state of Georgia, not the University of Georgia or anyone else who wants to seriously compete, is going to enforce that. Because while you're early to market now and you could say, well, no one else is even giving you 25% of what you're earning on your name, image, and likeness, we all know where this is going. And so I don't see any big-time school actually enforcing that. Players are going to be able to start making money soon off their name, image, and likeness. And Governor Kemp, as you mentioned, joined Paul Feinbaum earlier today on the Paul Feinbaum Show and talked about why he felt comfortable signing this bill into law.
The thing that I liked about what we did in Georgia is I think this is going to help preserve college sports and also help our student athletes, but not just, you know, one star athlete. I think it's going to help all the athletes the way that our particular legislation was written. So, you know, even that somebody that's on a, you know, maybe a sport that's not as recognizable as some in the SEC or leaves us a lot of flexibility. So those, every student athlete will benefit from this in some way. So it preserves, I think, a lot of our female-based sports and other less recognized sports. And I think that's something that, you know, hopefully we'll see the NCAA weigh in on and Congress as well. Because, look, it's the greatest game in America, you know, other than playing youth sports like I did, really to keep from, you know, professionalizing the sport too much. I think we're going to have that type of element in there. But we're open to working with everybody on that.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So that was Georgia Governor Brian Kemp talking about feeling like he's protecting college football. And Chiney, all the weird political elements of that aside, because he's trying to get a win for him too. He knows what this means and how important college sports are, specifically college football, is to that area of the country. I am excited to watch, Chiney, the tide officially turn from players need to realize how valuable a free education is to, well, if they're just making money off of their name, image, and likeness, that's fine. It's not coming from the school. It's not going to do anything. All the way to, why hasn't my state legalized this yet? We're going to fall in behind in recruiting to Alabama even more than we already have. You can see the full life cycle coming, because at the end of the day, Chiney, people do not actually care, I don't think, in their heart of hearts, if players are getting paid. They just want to make sure that their school is still going to win because players are getting paid.
And I think when we found out that this was on the horizon, and a lot of things were accelerated through Cory Booker and his, you know, Bill of Rights for college athletes, where it hit the Supreme Court and it's like, oh snap, it's no longer in this perennial space of, oh, maybe this is coming. Like, now there's a benefit of being first. And that's why you literally are getting governors on the line to talk about sports. Because there's a benefit to the university, to the players, to the fan bases, to putting this in action so that they will continue to have the you know, advantage in recruiting. And so it's just funny how, like, the situation switches up. And more importantly, you know, I'm from the South, born and raised in Houston, Texas. How us in the South say athletes, not like athletes. You know, us, oof, you know, the athletes, like, oh, it's like a,
it's
whole.
It's a full athlete in there. There's an extra syllable added in on that one. He put his foot in that one, Chiney, there's no doubt. But you mentioned being part of this new wave, things that are happening going forward. We also are going to get some of the same tired old arguments against us. And I love Charles Barkley to death, but he also joined Paul Feinbaum, you know, TNT's NBA analyst, Basketball Hall of Famer, and talked about what we always hear, the value of free education.
Well, let me tell you my biggest problem with this whole thing, Paul, is I hate when people tell kids getting a free education is nothing. We're only talking about a small percentage of these guys who are going to go pro. We're only talking about a small percentage that's going to make money with name and likeness. But my biggest problem with this whole thing is, Paul, telling young kids, especially young black kids, getting a free education is nothing. I have a big problem with that.
And Chanae, like, I don't even fault Chuck. Like, he's defaulting to the norm. He's playing the hits on this one. Like, we're going to hear a lot of people regurgitate these same old takes because it's all they know, but it's just wrong at this point. Like, no one who is a proponent of name, image, and likeness money is saying that an education doesn't matter. The value of an education and getting one paid for by the work that you put in to earn that scholarship is not a free education. There's value in that, but the price has gone up on everything. The rest of this is so big that the value's not caught up to what everyone else is getting out of this thing.
Well, I just would like to ask the esteemed and honorable, which I fully respect, but when it comes to these conversations, I'm sort of like, huh? Charles, like, who is telling people that free education is nothing?
Right.
Like, are those conversations really happening? Because the communities I come from, free education is everything. And that's the sentiment that we have. And then if you have an opportunity to be one of the few and the fortunate to maybe forego that free education to transform your life and your family's life, like, of course, shouldn't you have the liberty to be able to do that as well? And so I think, like you said, Junior, those common phrases are not applicable anymore because we've moved in a different direction where free education is still amazing. Education, it being free, is not just something for athletes. It's something that we're dealing with as a country for all students involved at higher education. And so, yeah, we just have to educate ourselves to that fact that that's no longer the norm. And now these pathways will actually help empower people to have the liberty to take control of their lives when the system has really controlled a lot of the athletes' lives. And like the last point I'll say, Junior, is that when you go to college and you get a free education, does that still mean you're getting the education that you want or deserve?
Mm-mm.
Because by having that job, and we know that working, you know, or serving as a student athlete is pretty much the same strenuous nature as a job. By having that job, you're probably going to forego what you'd really, really want to do if you could have all the time dedicated to that. So there's so many caveats to this where education is still a commodity. But if you do have the luxury of transitioning to the professional ranks, that's on you, not on the system to dictate that.
No, and most of this comes from the place, though, Chanae, of people on the outside look at these athletes and they say, you already have more than me. Why should you get even more on top of that? Well, if you're doing more than someone else did, and even if that's because you got walked out of the hospital with a different set of gifts than somebody else, they didn't make that decision. We made that decision as a people to look at certain sports and say, we're going to throw so much eyeballs and money into that the money will cannot help but flood this area. Because Charles is right. So many players are going to go pro in something other than sports. So wouldn't it be nice if they could make some money while they are playing that sport at such a high level? Most players are going to go pro in something other than sports. So wouldn't it be nice if, like we're seeing with all of these brand coaches and companies coming on to teach these kids how to make money, that they're going to learn some very valuable life skills that might serve them in that life after something like sports? All these players are going to go pro in something other than sports more often than not. And so why don't we just take the reins off of this now? It's not going to hurt anybody. If you think they've already got more than me, why do they need any more? If that's going to be your operating mode, just stick with, hey, they've already got more than me. What's a little more on top of that? What's it going to hurt, especially if your team's still winning? And that's what it all comes back to.
There we go.
All right. Coming up next, as we shift away from college kids finally getting the piece of the pie, we will head to the NBA. We've had an unprecedented season with one of the quickest turnarounds we've ever seen from the 2020 season to the 2020-2021. Coming up next, what goes into getting a player ready for that? How do you try and manage the bodies of these unbelievable athletes as they prepare for something none of their peers have ever had to deal with before? We'll get into that next. Chanae Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae Ngola Jr., the podcast.
I love it when we really get to go inside the locker room and straight into the game, and also when we come fresh off the court, because I know that very well. About to join us soon is someone that's doing exactly that. Chanae Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chanae Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. training camp, and I don't know what Mike Golick Jr. is training for. Oh! Guess what? I got a Peloton, by the way. I mean, I know the timing is a little interesting, but it's a Peloton bike. and I got it. So I'm trying to get like you, Junior.
Well, you know what? That's probably not something you want to do because, Chinee, I had this humbling experience. So I've had the combination this week of getting my second shot of the vaccine, which, you know, big ups. Very excited about that.
Well done.
Getting ready to be out here.
Out here in these streets.
They're calling me. I'm always ready to pick up. But also, then we had Cinco de Mayo yesterday, and so I had a good helping of quesadillas, a lot of food last night. I decided I was going to go try and get a workout in this morning. I have not in the longest time felt the way I did today. I was finishing up this workout at Orange Theory, like browning out at the end. I walked outside and I looked at one of my friends that had been inside there and I was like, there's a legitimate chance I puke right in front of this workout place right now. I was humbled before the altar of fitness today.
I have a feeling it wasn't just the guacamole that was doing that to you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You probably went hard for Cinco de Mayo, but it's all good. I won't spill your tea. But Junior, you know, as we try to effort the skills coach Chris Brickley, I think it's really funny because I make my money on the court, right? We make our collective money on the microphone, but apparently now you are so lit that you can make your money also on your timeline with Twitter. So can you explain to me how people are going to be tipping you literally as you tweet?
This is wild. So we just talked about name, image, and likeness for the world of college sports. Georgia, their governor, Brian Kemp, just signed into law a bill that's going to let that happen. And we've always talked about social media as one of these avenues to do it. I didn't realize that Twitter was going to go over here and bite Twitch's swag so hard because you've been able to do this on Twitch as a platform for a while. But now, apparently, if you like someone's tweet so much and feel so compelled to give, you can head on over to their Twitter account and actually like Venmo them cash from Twitter for the tweets being so good. Chinee, I don't know if I've ever had a tweet go up that I thought was worth someone paying for, but that being said, now that I have the option, I feel like I need to give them some sort of like late night content here. Like next time I'm around a hot tub, like maybe I just start streaming questions for everybody.
Hold on, this is not OnlyFans, this is Twitter, okay?
I mean, but look, I just, at this point, spot the difference.
And you're right, Spot, you can get paid for both. Now, I'm curious, Junior, because it's just weird. Like, that's a different experience. Do you think you have had I feel like you know this. What your best tweet probably would have been of all time that would have brought the money in?
So I think my best tweet of all time and the one that would have done numbers actually came in March Madness and actually came in the game
where
we saw Baylor in there where I said, such and such team looks like they, you know, they go out here and we have a great offense. Gonzaga's got a great offense. Baylor's team lifts with the football team. That team would have probably gotten me paid because those guys looked like they were out there and ready to go. Speaking of getting ready to go, we now head out and are joined on the Goodyear Hotline by Chris Brickley, NBA skills coach. He's brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink, made with no artificial sweeteners and no sugar added to hydrate your active lifestyle. Chris, we appreciate you giving us some time. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks. Appreciate you guys for having me.
And we know, listen, you've worked with some high-profile athletes, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Carmelo Anthony, all these great NBA players. And Chris, I want to ask you about the midst of this season. We know it was a quicker turnaround than we've ever seen for the NBA. With the guys that you've worked with and the players that you've had to train, how did you all adjust the way you went about getting ready for a season with this kind of turnaround?
Yeah, so it wasn't your typical off-season by any means. So, you know, first and foremost, just trying to stay COVID-free during the off-season, so it limited our travel and everything. And the guys didn't really have the same amount of, you know, some guys only had a few weeks, really. So just touching up on their bodies, making sure their bodies are ready to go.
Chris Brickley joining us, NBA skills coach, works with Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, CJ McCollum, Kawhi Leonard, you name it here, joining us on Channing Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. I've got two questions for you, Chris. I lived in Connecticut for like 5 years. Where was my invite? Like, when were we trying to get work in? Like, where was
I would have loved to work with you. By the way, congratulations on getting back out there. I seen a few days ago. Congratulations on that.
Much appreciated, and I guess next time I make it to Bristol, I'm in L.A. right now, and I don't know when the next time I'm going to make it because I'm just trying to get Junior out here to L.A. I will hit you up, and we can sort of put two and two together. I'm excited for that. But, you know, speaking of the stars Definitely. That you've worked with, one of them clearly is Kevin Durant, and it's just been so impressive to see his recovery back from the Achilles, obviously, but more importantly, just being able to be productive no matter the scenario when he's out there. So how have you seen him be able to adapt and be dominant and just being able to drop into a game or drop into a season and just be the best player on the floor?
Yeah, he's a different breed. His mindset, And, you know, I knew he was going to come back, you know, and come back and be at his best. Just the way he, you know, even when he was hurt through his rehab, you know, everything that you heard, you know, guys go through their rehab, and I know you know what it's like. And say, for example, you got to do 3 sets of 10, right? And girls and guys might do, you know, 8, 9 reps. And Katie's the type of guy that's going to get in 12 reps if they ask him to get in 10. So he just is super prepared, and he's a true professional. I'm super excited to see him, what he does in playoffs. That's going to be fun.
Chris, during the season, what's the biggest misconception people have about what these athletes do to take care of their bodies to get ready for something like the NBA postseason coming up?
Yeah, no, I think it's just a constant. I think it's a 24/7 every single day, you know, getting the right amount of sleep, you know, right after the game, getting with the trainer and getting their recovery. I think it's just like it's a constant, even with film work, but their whole mindset. And, you know, Katie's a super student of the game. I know he watches a ton of film, and I don't think people understand how, you know, it's kind of around the clock, how these guys, you know, take it really serious.
I'm also interested, because you work around a lot of these kind of freak show athletes. What's the craziest thing you've ever seen one of these guys do in the lab?
Oh, man. I guess, like, in the Black Ops games, just crazy dunks. And I'm trying to think of, like, the craziest. I think Kevin Durant once, this is just a crazy skill thing, he hit 94 out of 100 NBA threes all in the move. That's ridiculous. God. Yeah, he did that a few years back.
For context, Junior,
like, yeah, after about rep 20, you feel everyone like tenfold with each shot. So that's so impressive.
Yeah.
It is a reminder that some folks' better is just better than our better. And that is certainly the truth for a lot of the clients that Chris Brickley, NBA skills coach, trains with, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and so many greats. Chris, we appreciate you giving us some time today. We know you're helping all these guys put in some work right now to get ready for the home stretch.
And my invite's there, right, Chris?
No, it is. It's always there. You're invited to the Black Ops whenever you want.
Let's go.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Josh.
Chris Brickley, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, NBA skills coach.
Junior, if you did the Kevin Durant challenge, would you, like, hit rim each time, or do you think there'd be like, a ratio of air balls?
Oh, no, there'd be a ratio of some, like, really ugly air balls. Janae, my shot is not quite where it needs to be right now. I've been hitting upper body a little bit too hard. I don't know if you heard, beach season's on the way right now. I'm on the get right for the summer workout plan.
This is not good. You got to focus on the legs. Like, everyone's like, oh, get right with the upper body. You forget, when you walk out there, people are going to see your legs, too.
Oh, Janae, listen, if there is one part of my body I am not worried about, it is when you hit skin on the bottom of those 5-inch seam shorts.
Oh, no.
I am giving you some famous production. The rest of my body, we got a few trouble zones from the middle of the quads down. We are gold. So
okay, good.
I got that one on lock right now. And if you want pictures of that portion of my legs, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter, you can tip me now. Coming up next, what if I told you that in addition to the thighs that are about to come out with the skies coming out, we also have trillions of one animal getting ready to make their way to the surface.
What?
For the most important part of life.
No.
We'll tell you what that is next. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Baby.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I just need to remind you all of something really quick first. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down this glorious day. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And first, I have to remind you that we had an amazing group of people join us today here on Janae and Golic Jr. Emily Kaplan, our ESPN NHL reporter, who inspired a greater conversation about fight night after we all experienced the Rangers and the Capitals combined for 72 penalty minutes in the first 4 minutes and 14 seconds of their game on Wednesday, which got me to realize that I am a lover, not a fighter, but I am most importantly an instigator. So, like, I'm like, yeah, I bet you won't do nothing. And then someone does something and I'm gone. Sprint. I'm out of there. So just heads up, Junior. Like,
Janae, I was going to mention that because, like, I feel like we've seen evidence to the contrary of this, right? Like, we have a video that I think we can play on ESPN Plus right now of Chiné, first team all hands team, protecting her sister NECA out on the court when some rogue fan decided to pop his way onto the court and make his way over there. Like, Chiné, we have played this video on our air before of you immediately squaring up and getting ready to throw hands on the WNBA court right here.
Hey!
Now, all right, you know, maybe that's not exactly like hands.
First
like,
of all, I did my hand did ball into a fist and I did jump in front of her as a human shield. So I was elite meat shield for my big sister.
That is true. You were an honorary offensive lineman in that spot. Like, you were ready. You kept a great relative position between the quarterback, your sister, and the pass rusher, that weird random guy that ran onto the court.
Yeah, NECA was very confused, but you know what? That's why you got sisters, all right? Like, you know, we can have everyone's back. So it was a unique scenario. Now, Emily Kaplan did not probably desire to come and talk about that, but that is what the conversation was nonetheless. And we got an even more fun conversation about how, Junior, I would love to know when you were last in a fight, but I digress, because we also had Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter, Chris Brickley, who you just heard from, NBA skills coach. And I was saying, Junior, with reminders, before we get to keep that same energy, I would like to remind everyone that I was right when it came to the Buccaneers. I was right. Everyone was like, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I was like, I heard what I heard. And so I think I should get tipped. Like, you have the tip on your Twitter, but I should get tipped. I should have money because the odds were against me and I delivered.
They were for anyone who missed it. We saw the Bucks give them two games, take two wins from them in a big way. Have the Buccaneers supplanted the 76ers as their biggest challenger in the East? You know what? But people, not enough people are asking that question. Have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers overtaken the Sixers for odds on winning the next championship? I can't speak words that well. Let's keep that same energy.
Cliff!
For crying!
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiné and Golic Jr.
I like that new trend. Let's just scream for Cliff until he plays a sound.
Just let the record show.
No. That was not my fault. I'm blaming our director, Becky, because she was talking to me about something.
I'm not giving you the
Becky,
time to blame
I love
anyone
you. I'm throwing
right
you under
now.
The bus. It was not my fault.
Whoa, he said, I love you. I'm throwing you under the bus, Becky. Like, wow. Really? Becky is like Christine Lisi territory, a protector at all costs. Come on now.
I can say, Becky's going to come down here. Speaking of people ready to fight, she could come down here and square up with Cliff. It's
hit you with that right
I'm
left.
Leaving. Once the show's over, I'm going. She's not going to see
Nate,
me.
You Nate Robinson in this scenario, bro.
Speaking of fights, keeping that same energy, how about this from Jimbo Fisher? Head coach at Texas A&M took a shot at Alabama coach Nick Saban during an appearance at the Houston Touchdown Club on Wednesday afternoon. According to the audio, he was asked what it would take to beat Alabama other than the retirement of the 69-year-old Nick Saban, and he said, quote, we're going to beat his ass when he's here. Don't worry. Today, probably not the smartest thing Jimbo Fisher's ever said, but go off, King.
Yeah, and keep that same energy. Like, that's what I want to hear from my coach. Like, we don't care, but really, like, honestly, it's a tall test. But, like, we don't care.
Every bad quote from a college football coach has happened at a touchdown club. That is a confirmed, documented fact. But keeping that same energy today, we have very exciting news. Cicada Watch 2021 is here. Now, have you seen this? Apparently, trillions of these bugs, cicadas, those bugs that made that really loud buzzing noise, are getting ready to rise up out of the earth and take over all across America. Now, Chiné, if you've wondered what goes into this, I got a great explanation for it here. Some scientists talking about this.
Okay, what? Like, no, I can't do this.
These
like,
creatures,
bugs.
Chiné, they spend 17 years isolated underground drinking plant sap. And now in the 17th year, they come out of the earth in the billions, the trillions, and they're going to try and avoid everything that eats them to get to be adults and fly up to the trees. And then, once they get up on top of the trees, they are there to do one thing and one thing only. Baby. They get up there and they have some wild treetop sex. And then after that, everyone goes back down, dies, and fertilizes the young. And after that, it is all over but the crying, Chiné. That is one crazy life cycle. These things wait 17 years just to get up and get to do the hibbity-dibbity before they go to an untimely grave.
And I'm not surprised. This hot boy summer, this hot girl summer coming through.
Gonna say it feels like a lot of people coming off quarantine. So get ready for those loud cicadas and just know they're not gonna hurt you. They're not here to cause you any harm. They're just here to try and enjoy their time.
Let's get it on.
Ow. Let's
get it on.
Let's get the hell out of here. Maybe Spain and Fitz are gonna talk about cicadas coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.